Save big money and transform your home with new appliances now at Menards. We offer the lowest prices and the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. Check out top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade your home and save big money on new appliances at Menards. Shop our entire selection of appliance options online today at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Can't you hear my stomach roar? Excuse me, may I have some more? Maggie's meat, some fruit and grains. Send the sauce straight into my veins. Raise a toast to good libations. A stout or lager to quench temptations. An appetite that is insatiable. Pull up a chair.
Welcome back to Excuse Me, May I Have Some More? We are the Foodcast with an Insatiable Appetite. My name is Brad Kramer. My co-host is Christine Stribble. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Brad. I'm taking a break from my Krispy Kreme donut. Hope your day's going well.
I have a Krispy Kreme location about 15 minutes from me, but I have not hit it yet. And I have not tried the new Oreo Krispy Kreme co-branding that you talked about in a recent article for Foodcited. So we'll get to that in a second. Let me just tell the people what we have coming up, because I do want to discuss that. On this episode, we will have, I guess this will be a lighter episode in tone, in subject matter. So hopefully we'll have some fun with it. One of the interviews we have coming up today is my recent conversation with Jeremy Ford. Jeremy is one of the three chefs who co-host the hit series Fast Foodies on True TV. He's also the season 13 winner of Top Chef. And a little later on, Christine will talk to Kel Mitchell, who is one of the hosts of Deliciousness and is also known for a certain generation as one of the co-stars of the famous Kenan and Kel show on Nickelodeon. So we have those two interviews coming up. But before we get to that, tell me about the Krispy Kreme Oreo marriage. Have you tried it yet, or will the one you're going to be treating yourself to after we talk be your first foray?
Well, I've tried one of two, because there's two, but each of them have the special part of this new collaboration, which is the first time that Krispy Kreme and Oreo have ever co-branded a special donut, is that the glaze on it is Oreo flavored. So basically it's a regular Krispy Kreme donut that we all know and love, and then the special glaze on top for one of them, and then also a little bit of kind of like a cookies and cream filling. And then there's a bigger one with more stuff on it that has almost an entire Oreo cookie wafer across the center. So I've had just the regular one with the little cookie crumble on it. And I will say that the glaze actually does taste like an Oreo cookie. It's really kind of freaky that it tastes like it. Might be a little addicting. Might want to go get another dozen before it goes away. Just saying.
And have they rolled that out nationally at all their stores?
Yes. It all started yesterday, and it's going for a limited time. I don't think they have a specific end date yet, but maybe, because like the one with the Oreo cookie on top is more like a dessert, unless you just like a lot of sweetness with your coffee in the morning.
Okay. And for those of us who don't drink coffee, a nice big glass of milk would do the trick.
Yes. But you know, unlike your Oreo cookie, you're probably not dunking into your glass of milk with one of these, but it's a nice compliment.
Yeah. I would think it would be a nice contrast, especially if it's sweet.
A Krispy Kreme donut is kind of sweet anyhow. Right. So, you know, this one, add in the Oreo flavor and a creamy cookies and cream center too. You got a little bit of sugar going on.
So you recommend it?
Well, I always recommend donuts. I've never really met a bad donut.
Now, see, I beg to differ on that one. As much as a Dunkin' Donuts donut can hit the spot occasionally, they have a shelf life of about the time it takes an ice cube to melt out in the sun. They do not stay fresh very long, whereas Krispy Kreme donuts, you can buy a box of Krispy Kreme glazed donuts, forget that you have them in the pantry, take them out 2 weeks later, and they're still fresh and still soft.
Well, I can't believe, who has donuts? Donuts last a day in my household.
Touche.
It's a little different, but yes. Are there always some donuts that are better than others? Of course there are. I mean, I had some Voodoo donuts the other day that were quite tasty. And then, there's another brand of gourmet donuts called Everglazed over at Disney that are gigantic. I mean, they're like eating a slice of cake. But at the same time, it's like, a piece of chocolate. Yes, there's some that are better than others, but do you really turn your nose up on something sweet?
Okay, you win. And for those of you who are listening and are unfamiliar with Voodoo Donuts, it is a baker out of Portland, Oregon that has achieved legendary status for their donuts. And I'm guessing since they do have a location at Universal City Walk in Orlando, and that's where Christine takes up residence the majority of her time, I'm assuming that's where you had it.
It is. I ran through Universal recently and had some of their treats during their Mardi Gras event and picked up the specialty Mardi Gras donut, which was a Bananas Foster's filling.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It was. It was good. A lot of times their specialty limited edition donuts are pretty tasty and worthy of making a special trip if you're over in that general area.
Okay, so everybody who's listening, who's getting ready and making plans to flood it back into Florida, to Orlando, to Universal, to Disney, you now have a couple destinations for your donut dining in both parks or Disney General, Universal General. So I mentioned that we're going to play my Jeremy Ford interview shortly. We also tend to disagree on the new show that he is co-hosting with Justin Sutherland and Kristen Kish. Justin Sutherland was a competitor on Top Chef, who I'm going to be interviewing in short order, and hopefully Kristen too. Kristen's another Top Chef winner. They're co-hosting Fast Foodies, which I love. You not so much. And what's interesting about that is you're in your conversation with Kel, which we'll get to. Also, deliciousness is also a far lighter look at food and cooking than we are used to in food television. So I find it interesting that you're not a big fan of Fast Foodies. And I just am curious what about it that doesn't float your boat.
I think it was maybe because they couldn't say the word Portillo's correctly. Maybe that's what irks me. As the former Chicago girl, you should know how to say Portillo's. It's kind of like a rite of passage. It's not that difficult, but I think there's an interesting element to the show, but showing people that, fast food at its core can have some value, can have some good flavor to it. But some of the ideas are just a little too far-fetched for me. And trust me, I live in a world where crazy food combinations, I want all of them on my plate. I want a super elevated, pretty dish with, that was plated with some tweezers. But sometimes if I want that Portillo's hot dog, or God forbid, you really want that, fast food hamburger, you want it because of what it is. You don't want some bastardization of something else. There's fun and whimsy and everything, but sometimes it's just like, oh, don't try so hard. Just, it's the same premise of sometimes you want a really good beer, a really great beer, a hearty, not that you drink, Brad, but like you want that perfectly hoppy IPA. And then other times, no, I'll open a can of Old Style while watching the Cubs game and it's okay.
See, and I think that's what makes Fast Foodies so good. Aside from the general tone in the kitchen, most of the guests are comics or comic actors. So the levity is sort of baked into the show's recipe right off the bat. But what I like is whether it's the cheesy gordita or a Portillo's hot dog or a Carl's Jr. burger or whatever item is the item du jour that week, the three chefs, Kristen, Jeremy, and Justin, take the stab at recreating the actual item first before they go and reimagine it in their own vision. So we do get a visual taste of them approaching each of these fast food items as opposed to just deconstructing the original. So I like the fact that we see how they would make it first and then it's judged and the real item and then deconstructing it and reimagining it in their own culinary vision second. I think it makes for great television.
Well, I get it that, you know, they can grind a whole bunch of meat products and add seasoning to it and make a hot dog, but it's not the same hot dog. You know, there is, like I said, there's a time and a place for everything. I'm sure most likely their cheesy gordita does not hold a candle to what you get in a drive-thru. But at the same time, you know, there are going to be people who go, I only want the drive-thru. I only want that, you know, something wrapped in, you know, paper wrap and served in a brown paper bag. And right. You'll never convince them otherwise. But, you know, if it can expand people's mind to what food can be, then by all means, turn it on and watch.
I also think it opens it expands upon a food watching audience. I think the people that watch True TV and watch Impractical Jokers and shows like that and then are catching fast foodies are probably a different audience that are watching then are watching, you know, Top Chef, Chopped, whatever. And I think that's always a good thing. Plus there's levity, there's humor, there's double entendres, there's drinking. So you'd be right in home in that kitchen. So I think they've expanded the audience and it's catching on. The reviews have been great. The audience is growing. It's they've built a pretty sizable audience. And if I were to read between the lines, because I did ask Jeremy this question, I think we will probably see a second season of it, which makes me really happy. Let's get to the interview that I did with one of the reasons for it. One of the three co-hosts, Jeremy Ford.
It is so good. Oh my Lord. Between the foam, tomato, the crispy, and then the meat.
That's tasty.
The flavors are so diverse. It's like you know what you're doing.
Literally tastes like a Chicago dog.
Did I nail the Petrolo Chicago style hot dog?
It's Portillo's, but Portillo's. I've never been to Petrolo's.
God damn it.
Is it a gas station?
You guys as chefs, some more than others, take your craft very, very seriously.
Yes.
So that begs the question, what was your reaction to being approached to do Fast Foodies and whole concept and it being light and whimsical and being predicated upon fast food items?
So many emotions, actually. You know, for me, you know, out of the three of us, I do a lot of fine dining, right? I mean, Kristen does a lot of fine dining, and then you have Justin, who's really just raw, awesome, you know, whole hog barbecue and stuff like that. So for me, you know, I'm definitely the one who's a little bit more tweezered out. But, you know, when I first heard about it, I'm like, you know, how is this going to look, you know, as far as like my style and like branding and so on and so forth. But then I'm like, man, there's just something really comforting to know that everybody can relate to this show, right? Like, you know, everyone, it doesn't matter if you're poor, rich, actor, you know, dishwasher, it doesn't matter what you do or who you are. Like, I think everyone has had some sort of relationship with like fast food, you know? So, you know, after I sat up for a couple of days, I thought about how fun it could be, especially with those two on the other end. Like, I was like, no, I got to do this. And I think it's like, as chefs, I think once in a while, we got to stop being so worried about what everyone else is going to think or like, you know, like, fuck it. It's have a good time with it, man. You know, like if it's something you're passionate about and you obviously have seen the food we're doing, it's not super easy stuff. I mean, we're pulling off, like, some of the dishes are like incredible, quality. So it was a big challenge, though. As easy as it may look, it was very, very difficult.
I love the show. I love sort of the dichotomy between the three amazing world-class chefs and, you know, the KFC mashed potatoes and the one, I something about that. And then to add the levity and the humor and you guys being able to talk like you talk in the kitchen and the double entendres that you get from the chefs and from the comedians, that recipe, so to speak, has been phenomenal as far as I'm concerned. One of the elements of that is the chemistry that exists between you, Kristen, and Justin. You can't fake that. You can't bullshit a viewing audience. Can you talk about the working with the two of them and the chemistry that you guys clearly have?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we first arrived there together, we had never really done much together. We didn't have a history of years of fun at, you know, partying at events or cooking together. So on paper, it might look like, wow, I mean, like, you know, it could kind of go either way, you know? I'm a very out, I'm like probably the easiest person to get along with. I think what I bring to that trio is just these, it's just like a big smile and a hug, man. Like that's kind of like, and that can be kind of, you know, literal and physical, but like, I'm just a guy, like a big teddy bear, man, when it comes to, you know, cooking and being around new people that I don't know. I'm super easy to get along with. So once we sat there in like this awkward silence, because we, you know, this is all COVID going on, right? Right. So we all have our mask on, we're all scared. And because of Justin's big, beautiful beard, all you could see is like this mask would cover here, but his beard was like fraying out. He looked like a madman. Yep. And literally, I said, man, can I hug you guys? We all got COVID tested. We're all negative. I'm like, can we hug this out? And he's like, it was like this big, like group hug. And I was like, you guys ready to fuck this shit up or what? And then that was the moment I think we started on this journey together. We all had this, like, we got the awkwardness hug out of the way. And we said, man, we're going to create something really fun here. And I think that from that moment on, it was nothing but laughing, you know, strategies. How do we make this fun? And how do we have a blast? And then there was no script for that. No one gave us script saying, oh, you know what would be funny, Jeremy, is if you acted like a complete retard and can't save Portolos or
Portillo's, yes.
Portillo's. like that, you can't fake that.
Right. So you broke the ice with the hug and the rest is history.
Yeah. And then we went on this journey and I think we really worked well together.
So based on the popularity, based on the chemistry, your first season, so to speak, was 10 episodes. Have you heard any voices whisper to you about a second season based on the success?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's definitely whispers, nothing set in stone yet. You know, anything that we can release, unfortunately, but, I would love to do another season. Cause you know, if you think about it, I was wondering, I'm like, what would we do next? And then I just started thinking about all the other things that you could wrap this thing around. Krispy Kreme. Yeah. I mean, like it could get crazy. Right.
Absolutely.
So I'm really hoping we get to a second season.
So when you did season 13 of Top Chef, your food and your cooking was being judged by professionals. You know,
yeah,
you had Tom and you had Emeril and you had Blaze, and on Fast Foodies, you're being judged by comics. And comics, it's usually a gin and tonic, a cigarette, and whatever fast food they can pick up on the way to the club. Is your reaction to what they say and their feedback about your dishes any different than it was when you were being judged by professionals?
Some of our celebrity guests have our foodies, and you can tell. Joel McHale,
right.
Joel's a cook. Who else? Fortune Feimster is really into food. So there was a couple that you, I mean, some of the comments that were said were like, I was like, oh, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about, right? You know, he's talking about the sear and the resting. And then you got some guys who, you know, who have no real clue about exactly like what they're judging as far as the fine dining side of it. But good food is good food. Brad. And I think no matter how you dice it, who's judging you, there's always going to be a dish that all four of us could say, yeah, that one's better,
right.
You know? And I think, you know, I take their criticism just as much as I would Padma or Tom.
I have to ask, ironically or conveniently, with Top Chef Portland premiering, looking back at winning season 13, I can't talk to you and not ask how your life has changed or been affected personally and professionally since winning season 13.
You know, this opportunity that I have in front of me right now, who knows if I would have had it without Top Chef, you know? I think Top Chef really just gave all of us, since we're all, you know, we're competitors on there, I think it all gave us a platform, and we all have chosen to do what we want with it. And fortunately enough, that platform not only got me my first little restaurant, which I'm sitting in the office of now, but also, you know, has stricken many other opportunities to travel and to see things I would have probably never seen without them. So forever I'll be in debt to them.
So, and the fact that you won season 13, you're hosting Fast Foodies. Amar is in the bubble in Portland, simply serving as a member of the alumni judging panel. So you got the better end of that deal too.
Yeah. I think this is much more up my alley than anything else I could ever do on TV. I think this is the funnest and most close to home, and I think the reason this show does so well, and from what you're saying, you also enjoy it. I think it's just doing well, and the fact that we all love it. Like, you know, there was times on other, you know, shows I've done where I was just like, I didn't like being there doing that certain thing that certain day. There right. wasn't one day that I regret on Fast Foodies. Every single day was a blast. Like when we had to take off for a couple days, I was like sitting there like, I'm ready, man. Like, let's do this. And I think that's what creates good TV, is when people are really, really interested in what they're doing.
Yeah. What makes it engaging for me is, as a food lover, I love seeing these three world-class chefs who I'm familiar with, and I love what they do. But I also like the realism. I like the humor. To me, you can't have enough humor in a television show. And that combination, when you cobble it together, just makes for great television. So I think whoever conceived this idea, well, I know the name, but I just think it's perfect at the perfect time and just the right formula. I love it personally. And I know I'm not alone in that. Jeremy, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I know you're busy, especially with a full house tonight. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, and hope we get to do this again sometime.
I would love that, Brad. And when you're in Miami, don't just come for the hash browns, all right?
Just the type of town I could spend a few days in. Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing.
Party in the city where the heat is on, all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
Welcome to Miami.
Bienvenido a Miami. All right, so we're back. And we also have coming up Christine's interview with Kel Mitchell. For my daughter in her mid-20s, Kel will always be a part of Kenan and Kel. But like every other child star from a certain generation, they grow up and some achieve continuing success and some disappear and some wind up on TMZ. But in Kel's case, he hosts Deliciousness, and I have not seen the show yet. I've seen commercials for it. Obviously I've heard your interview with him. It basically strikes me as America's Funniest Home Videos, but with food. Am I anywhere close?
A little. It's from the creators of Ridiculousness. So if people are familiar with that MTV show, it takes that spin a little more than America's Funniest Home Videos. And each episode was broken into various themes. And the panel, so joining Kel is Tiffany Thiessen and Tim from Basic to Bougie and Angela Kinsey from The Office. And why the videos are part of it, because everyone kind of looks at it and has that, oh no, I can't believe that it's happened, or oh God, I know someone who did that, or what the heck were they thinking? there is the other aspect of it is the banter between the four the panel and how they bring a little bit of their background to the conversation, whether it's Kel talking about what his grandma used to make, you know, for the holidays and pies and things like that, to Tim talking about how he didn't know how to put out a fire in a kitchen. Everyone has like a little bit of a different perspective on it. And it goes back and forth to, hey, let's not take everything so seriously. Let's have a little fun. And it's okay to laugh at people when they do something pretty darn stupid.
And from episode to episode, is there enough content that is it sustainable in your mind? Are you enjoying multiple episodes? Do you think it has a pretty decent shelf life as a TV show, or will it, I mean, America's Funniest Home Videos must have lasted 77 years. Do you think this has some legs?
Well, what they did was the first season was at the holidays of last year, and it was very holiday centric. So a lot of, you know, dropped turkeys and, you know, Christmas dinner's gone awry. And then this second season, which premiered last month, was just a little more broad based. Everything from kitchen disasters to funny things with animals. And then they added a few other little elements to it where the panel kind of got into their likes and dislikes. With Deliciousness, it's more the sustainability factor, I think, could happen. Their seasons are really short. They only last for about a week, and they do a whole bunch of episodes, and then they're rerun periodically on MTV. But if you look at the popularity of the company behind it, Ridiculousness, which is a very hard word to say, that's been around for a really long time. There are tons of people out there that have these fails that are all over the internet, whether it's, you know, YouTube videos or TikTok or what have you. People just sometimes want to laugh for the sake of laughing. And, you know, compiling them all together is a good half an hour of just, let's have some lighthearted fun.
Right. I thought he was really engaging in your conversation too, which was, it's always nice to hear. Yes, I know they're going through the press junket and going through the motions of doing interview after interview after interview. And sometimes you can hear the disconnect where they're tired of doing so. But much like your interview with T-Pain recently, I thought that Kel was engaging. It was interesting. He did a lot of giggling, which means you drew that out of him, being the comedic genius that you are. And I thought it was a fun interview. So let's take a listen.
So I know we're here to talk about season two of Deliciousness. Did you think there was going to be a season two after the first one came out?
Well, of course. Yeah, because we had so much fun. We knew that we were doing something special, and I'm super excited that we're back for second. See what I did there? For second for Deliciousness. And I'm just happy. Like, we're a big family now. We had fun in the first season, and now, you know, like, the cast is amazing, you know, Tim, Angela, and Tiffany, and the whole crew, and it's just like sitting on the couch and just laughing at all these funny, funny food blunders that are just super hilarious.
Well, it's one of those things. Most of us want to get off the couch, but you seem to want to get back on it and to kind of see everybody's little bit of silliness that they have going around with food. Did you have a lot of people come up to you after the first season and say, oh, I have this story I have to tell you, or, oh, you've got to see this video?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, now everyone's like, oh, they want to tape themselves. And I'm like, no, MTV handles that. You know, they look and find all these videos. So don't send them to me. Don't send the videos to me. But yeah, everyone's been getting into it. And then the other cool thing, too, is that a lot of people tell me they relate to some of the videos. They, you know, they say, hey, I burned something in the stove that same way. Thank goodness no one was taping me, you know.
Well, I know, like, last, the first season, it kind of had a little bit of a holiday theme. But for this season, what will people expect with some of the videos? Is it a little more wide-reaching and just food craziness?
Yeah, we've taken it to a whole nother level now. So now it's one video that was super funny this season. where you're seeing animals now, animals stealing food, animals like actually cooking food. It was a video of a monkey actually cooking food. And then there's a cool thing we're doing now too, where people are, well, basically it's the game that we play. So it's a cool little fun game, and you have to guess what is going to happen next. So, for instance, you know, I don't know if you've seen the craze all on social now where people are making, like, cakes out of crazy things. So you'll see, like, an iPhone that looks like a cake. And so you have to, like, think of, like, is this an iPhone or is it a cake as the knife approaches it? And so, like, it's really fun, like, these fun games that we're playing. So it's food games. Not more crazy videos. It's bananas. I'm surprised at how many food videos there are out here. That is just amazing.
Well, it seems a lot of people are obsessed with the food videos, especially like those cake ones. Why do you think that people are still so drawn to, you know, seeing what we're eating and experiencing that food that maybe just makes us either really happy and excited or scratching their head going, oh my God, what are they thinking?
Well, look, that's the thing. Like, food is such a loving and fun thing to do with your family. And a lot of different families have their own own recipes. And we all love food. It's just a fun moment. And I think it's like a nostalgia there. That you have where you're thinking about, oh, that's like my grandmother's pie. And so, or you go, that's absolutely not like my grandmother's pie. What are they thinking? So that's why I think it's like so relatable to watch this show. And it makes it so much fun because everybody eats. I don't think anybody doesn't eat. So that's pretty cool.
Well, let's hope we all eat because otherwise we might have a problem with that. But
right.
One of the things that I kind of wondered though, watching some of this, Did the show, like, ruin a food for you? Because there have been a couple of the videos where you go, oh, honey, no, why did you do that? And, like, every time I go and look at, you know, my kids putting something strange on pizza, it's like, oh, no, I can't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely see that. People putting ranch on things, and they shouldn't put a ranch on. Peanut butter on spaghetti. It's like a lot of funny stuff that I've seen where I'm like, oh, okay, no judgment, but I guess if that's what you like, that's what you like.
Well, do you think that people maybe took any life lessons away from watching the show that may, I mean, granted, everyone's going to do a blender full of crazy protein ingredients, but do you think maybe it got people to be a little more open with what they choose to eat, or, you know, just, you know, welcome the idea of food doesn't always have to be, you know, super simple?
Yeah, you know, this show, the other thing that it does, it's a great learning experience. You know what I mean? Like, don't put water over a grease fire. Like, don't do it. You know, and then don't put certain things in blenders. Make sure the blender is all the way closed, you know. So it's definitely a learning experience for people just starting out with cooking. It'll definitely help. So, yeah, you'll learn and you'll laugh.
And I noticed I was able to see a couple clips from what I think is the first episode or one of the episodes. And there was a whole segment about hot dogs. And since I know you're from Chicago, I noticed you were a little silent when other people were talking about hot dog topics. You mentioned, you know, you like a more condiments on your hot dog. But I was kind of curious, why do you think people are very opinionated about hot dogs?
You know, from city to city, they do that. You know, it's like having like a team, you know what I mean? Like, they love their home team. Like, I love the Chicago-style dog because I'm from Chicago. It's just, you know, it reminds me of being a little kid in Chicago and the first time I had a Chicago dog with the poppy seeds and just the mustard and, you know what I mean, all that stuff. So, you know, I get it. I get it. You know, they're like, mine's better. And they do it with pizza, too. Like, you know, we could go to war over, like, Chicago-style pizza and New York pizza.
Well, and now, you know, in the past year, we've all kind of adapted to new ways and, you know, modified some of our experiences. But now it looks like this summer, it's potentially going to be the time where we can kind of get back out and have a little more fun outside of our house. So I'm curious if maybe you might be taking like a food road trip. And if so, what are some of the things that you've been craving that maybe you can go out and get now?
Oh, I could go. Well, you know what? Well, here's the cool thing about like delivery. You know what I mean? Like during this time of quarantine, you know, you start eating kind of like the same foods. And then it was fun to like use these apps and just kind of go, you know what? Let me try this. Let me try this new empanadas place, you know? And so it's a lot of stuff that we got sent to the house that we wouldn't normally eat. And it was pretty good.
I'm a little curious, if you do watch sporting events, you know, what are some of your go-to snack foods that you have to have?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you got to have the wings. The wings are definitely important. You know, get some good chicken wings and drumsticks. And you can, you know, do that any kind of way you want to do it. You know, barbecue style, you can fry it up. I think that's awesome. And then what else? Oh, also nachos are amazing, but I'm not eating as many nachos as I used to, but I love nachos. Loaded nachos are always great while you're watching sports. Popcorn is a go-to. You know, like you can do a good like air popcorn where it's a little more healthier. So you can like do that. I love popcorn. That's also a staple when I'm watching sports. So yeah. And then you got to have your veggie tray. You got to, because that'll just help out with all that protein.
Okay, so you brought up a really controversial thing with the veggie tray, because normally that's like the plate that kind of sits there that no one wants to eat. So you're saying you really do need to have the little bit of healthy something?
You got to. I mean, you know what? You can be different with it. Like you can make kale chips. Kale chips are really, really good. You know, if they're seasoned right, you could do that and put that next to the chips, and you're still crunchy, but it's that kale, you know, it's healthy for you.
Well, I think that's a really good idea, you know, get the little sneaky food. Do you do that with your kids? Do you try to sneak a little healthy something in their meal?
Definitely. You got to, you know, and you'll be surprised. Like testing out their taste buds at this age. So it's definitely smart to like let them try everything. You know what I mean? And just see. You'll be surprised.
Well, and I noticed like sometimes in a couple of the episodes, the kid portions kind of have everyone going, "Oh, that's cute," or, you know, that kind of scenario. Do you think like the kids can be like a good example for us adults to maybe step outside of our comfort zone and not take ourselves as seriously when it comes to food?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And it's funny, we have a lot of fun kid videos. It's one with this kid takes some bread, and it's like, I think it was like French bread or something like that, or garlic bread, and they just ate through the middle of it and created a full tunnel of just eating through it. And then it's a kid where they had a lemon, and we had to guess whether they were going to like them or not. This is one of the games, whether they were going to like the lemon or not like the lemon. And this one kid just licked the lemon and was like, "Oh, this is amazing. This is great." And just ate it like it was an apple.
I commend that child. That's pretty good. So it sounds like the new season two is going to be full of like lots of laughs and fun. What would you leave everyone with about making sure that they would tune in and watch?
Oh yes, tune in. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to laugh. It's going to be super relatable, and it's a lot of food. You know, we love food. So for the foodies, this is awesome. It's awesome for the whole family. You're going to get a workout on the couch because your stomach's going to be like, you're going to be cracking up so much.
Well, that's good to know. I'll be laughing and still eating my chicken wings and maybe with a side of kale chips.
yes.
Well, thank you for your time today. I do appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing season two, and hopefully there's a few more after that.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
This week is Masters Week in Augusta, Georgia. and they have a food item that they serve, and I think it's still like 50 cents or some ridiculously low price, that has become part of the lore of the Masters with all of its tradition through many, many years. And that is pimento cheese sandwiches.
Ooh.
I have never had a pimento cheese sandwich. I have not been to the Masters, even though I'm only a 2-hour drive away. I'm not anti-pimento. I used to like getting the pimento in my green olives and still do. But have you had a pimento cheese sandwich? And what are your thoughts upon hearing that that is one of the punch list items when people go to the Masters?
I'm all for it. A good pimento cheese sandwich is awesome. It's got to have good thick bread and like a hearty pimento cheese. I know they I think sometimes they do it at the Kentucky Derby too. You have to like kind of chunky cheese. Some of them are a little spicier than others. One of the great ways to enjoy it, and they used to have it on some different restaurant menus, is to do like a fried chicken sandwich with a pimento cheese spread as a condiment.
Right.
That's pretty yummy. But heck, I mean, every sporting event has some kind of signature dish, whether it's Kentucky Derby, the Masters, you know, strawberries and cream over at Wimbledon.
Yep.
Food and sporting events, they all go hand in hand. And if you can find a dish that's 50 cents at a sporting event, you better load up on that, because that's a steal.
Now, I may be wrong on that, but I know that it's not something where they gouge like you could potentially gouge at a sporting event, you know, whether it's the strawberries and cream or whatever. They could charge anything they want because people will do anything to get a Masters pass.
And
so the fact that they do not gouge, I have always found, okay, so I misspoke. I looked it up as we're talking. They're still only $1.50. And they're served in an iconic green plastic wrapper. And they say they're more heavily spiced than most pimento cheese sandwiches.
How to make a pimento cheese sandwich. Buy yourself some pimento cheese and some white bread. You take two slices of bread and you spread the correct amount of cheese, like so. Then you close and you're done. Congratulations.
So it's part of Masters. It's that, and it's sweet tea. And what's interesting to me, and as somebody who just said that you would be all for it, the Masters in April, most of the time, it's in the 80s already. You're sitting out in a baking sun watching golf for four to 8 hours. That strikes me as something that's really heavy and doesn't seem to jive with the weather and the conditions. Would that make any difference to you?
No, probably not. I mean, pimento cheese is like a Southern tradition. It's just one of those dishes that everyone kind of eats, and it's, you know, for the most part, it's cold. So, and you don't eat like it's not like you're eating a hoagie of pimento cheese. It's, you know, a small little sandwich, and it's hearty and tasty, and grab your sweet tea or your beer and walk on to the next six holes until you stop and have another refreshment. But then again, I'm not the person where weather dictates what I eat. So maybe I'm the wrong person to ask.
Well, see, and I'm somebody who loves soup 365 days a year. So I'm with you on that one. But having not had a pimento cheese sandwich, I didn't know if that would, oh my God, it's 85 degrees today and I'm sitting and baking in the sun, if that would preclude you from having it. I mean, you could go to Augusta National, you could have an egg salad sandwich for $1.50, a pimento cheese sandwich for $1.50, your chicken biscuit in the morning for $1.50.
It sounds like I need to get a Masters ticket to go eat on the cheap.
And for you, Christine.
Yes.
An imported beer or a craft beer is only $5.
See, that brings up a really good thing that I learned one time years ago when my kids first went to a swim meet in West Palm Beach, Florida, that sometimes at a golf course, the beer is only $1.50, where the Gatorade is $3. So what does the parent choose by watching their kids swim? The more cost-effective beverage.
We'll leave people to ponder that for this week. Two great interviews. Jeremy was fun. I think. Kel was fun. It was a fun, lighter episode, and it's always fun talking to you, Christine. That'll put the wraps on another episode of Excuse Me, May I Have Some More. My name is Brad. That is Christine. And we will talk again soon, Christine.
Bye, Brad.
See ya.
May I have some more?
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at HereYouAreAZ.com.